Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Of course, this is at the time, right as the Lord is going to call Noah to do a thing. Let's see here what the Lord says. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for your people that have assembled themselves together. Lord, we have the privilege of being together with your people today in your church to worship you. We pray, Father, you'd help us so we might worship you and lay aside all the cares of life. Lord, the distraction, those things that beset our hearts and minds so easily. Help us, Father, to lay all those things aside and, Lord, just worship you and praise you and rehearse those things, Father, that you tell us in your word about you that are true, Lord, and right and good, the promises you've made us, made unto us, the things that you've done for us, the great salvation, Lord, that you've blessed us with. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that even today would be the day of their salvation, Father, that you'd visit them and save them and touch them as you only can. Lord, use the witness of your word and the gospel, Lord, and give it power. And Lord, pray that you would just break stony hearts, Lord, and save them. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, the scripture says that man has an imagination and man has thoughts. Okay, that's the main thing that we want to pull from this verse. And in that day, in the day of Noah, and I think it can be said that we are certainly approaching a day like unto Noah's day, a day like unto Lot's day, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself during his ministry in the scripture refers to, that'll be the way it'll be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. But man has an imagination and man has thoughts. And what we want to deal with here this morning, the title of the message, What God Has, Men Want. What God Has, Men Want. Not men want what God has. Now, there's a difference there, okay? It's a difference. It's a subtle difference. What God has, men want. Not men want what God has, okay? We'll make that clear. I believe that the desire of men for the things that they want for mankind is evidenced by the fantasy that men create, okay? There's a fantasy. There's a thinking. There's that fanciful fantasy that's created by mankind. We've been given that ability. You don't see the lions doing that. Lions don't fantasize. Lions don't create things. They live the lion life. Monkeys live the monkey life. Cows live the cow life. Okay, but mankind has been, we've been given the ability to think. We've been given the ability to create, being made in the image and likeness of the Lord. And those things that are desired by men, I believe they're evidenced in the fantasy that they create. Things that are considered to be impossible for mankind come alive in fantasy. Is that not true? Is that not true? We see that. We see that much in our entertainment. That's where it's that way. But before the days of the media that we have in our day, there were always folks writing books, weren't there? There's always been writing books, doing plays, things like that. Mankind fantasizes about these desires becoming a reality, but when it comes down to it, they never will. When it comes down to it, those fantasies that mankind has, they never will come about. Or can they? Okay, Brother Jim, where in the world are you going? Okay, well, hang on. That's what has led to the creation of this message, and I want to look at some things that men want that God actually has. Okay, and we're going to just look at 10 of them quickly here this morning. Consider about how it is in our day. Reality shows, virtual reality, right? We enjoy virtual reality. Putting ourselves in another setting and doing something that normally we can't do. And we do it by electronics in our day. The advent of video games and PC games. I wish I had all the money that I put in video games when I was a teenager. All right, because they came on the scene at the time that I was a teenager, and I put a lot of quarters in them. Would go work at Henderson's Market, and then take those quarters, turn that into quarters, and feed them in those machines on Friday and Saturday night. Video games, PC games, the whole creation of science fiction. It's been a thing that's really come about in the last century and on into this time. Fantasy that men has. Again, 10 things that mankind fantasizes about and wants. And remember the title, God has, what God has, men want, not Men want what God has. First thing, it's familiar with all of us, to be rich. Doesn't mankind want to be rich? We want to be rich, don't we? In Mark chapter 8, turn over here real quick. If you have your Bible, follow along in the scriptures. We've got a lot of scriptures to take a look at, and I'll read some of them to you, and then we'll turn to some of them. Here in Mark chapter 8, here's what the Lord says, and in other passages in Proverbs, the Lord talks about, don't purpose to be rich. And here, this passage very familiar with you, Mark chapter 8, verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Purposing to be rich, there's no advantage with God. But men want to be rich, but look at what God has. Revelation chapter 5. For to those that the Lord has saved, and the promises that God gives unto us, here in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 10, the scripture says, hear these elders singing this new song and seeing the Lamb being able to take the book from the one that sat on the throne. He was the only one found that could open the book. And here these elders say, and has made us and unto our God, verse 10, Revelation 5, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Who is more wealthier than a king? Who is more wealthier on this earth than a king? And the Lord says, and these elders give testimony to the fact that the Lord makes his people kings and priests. In John chapter 14, you know this, in my Father's house are many mansions, not little cottages over on the hillside of glory, but mansions, the Lord says. Mansions. The Lord is making mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. I mentioned or brought a message here some time ago. It's been a while about the New Jerusalem and how it's 12 to 1,500 miles that way, and it's 12 to 1,500 miles that way, and it's 12 to 1,500 miles that way. And if you go in there and you put floors in that building, if you will, if you liken it into a building, and you go in there and put floors in there, it'd take about 80-some floors or 78 floors, okay, that you would put in that New Jerusalem, in that city that is 1,200 to 1,500 miles square. You could go in there and put 70-some or 80-some floors in there, and you know what the ceiling height would be? 7 miles. And it would equal all the surface area of the entire earth, land and seas combined. In my Father's house are many mansions. Airplanes don't fly higher than about 7 miles off the face of the earth, commercial jets. And so that gives you an idea about the space in the New Jerusalem. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We want to be rich. Mankind wants to be rich. But who is more wealthy, and it'll be manifested in that last day, than the children of God? There's none wealthier than they, is there? The Lord says in Psalms 50, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. That's what the Lord owns. That's what he owns. He owns it all. He owns all of it, doesn't he? The Lord says in Ezekiel 18, all souls are mine. We belong to him. Everything belongs to him. And over here in Revelation chapter 21, see what the Lord promises to his people. Revelation 21, verse number 7. He that overcometh, what's it say? Read it for yourself. He that overcometh shall inherit most things. My Bible says all, doesn't yours? He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Everything that the Lord has, his children will inherit. The Lord gives out the inheritance in advance. Why? Because he never dies. He died, the Lord Jesus Christ died once. And he looks forward very much to have us with him there in glory. And so men want to be rich, but it's a sinful way to be rich our own way, with our own purpose. But see, what God has, wealth in him, and wealth in those things that he possesses, that he freely gives to his children, he has it, and men want it, but they don't want it his way. You see what I'm saying? Mankind does not want what God has. He has it, but men don't want it that way. Next, the second point is, The first is to be rich. The next one is to know or be friends with someone famous. How many times is it that it is with us that we're always great? It's always a good thing to pull out a picture of me standing beside someone famous. I have folks that I know that enjoyed having their picture taken with, and it's fine, but having their picture taken with future presidential candidates or one that has gotten into the presidential race, and they would go to a fundraiser or something like that, and then they would have their picture taken with that potential presidential person. And it was really, really great if it turns out they became president. It was really a trophy, wasn't it? One of my children asked, says, that they took them over to show them some of the pictures that they had with famous people. And some of my kids, whoever it was, said, well, are you related to them? I think they said something like that. Are you related to them? No. So, well, who are they? Well, it's so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, why do you have that picture? Well, and the answer was, well, it's just good to have pictures with famous people. That was the answer. That was the answer. And so it's in us to want to be friends with someone that is famous. Well, Colossians chapter 1, who is more famous than the Lord? What God has, men want. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16, for by him were all things created, speaking of Jesus, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Who's more famous than the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things? Who is there? Men want to know somebody that's famous. We like getting our pictures taken with somebody that's famous. But who is more famous than the Lord? In Revelation 11 it says, and the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Having been saved by the Lord and knowing him as Lord and Savior, there's no one more famous to be acquainted with, is there?
Right. Right.
And the thing is, it's not a casual friendship that we have with him. It's a spiritual indwelling, isn't it? Yeah. With the most famous one that has ever been and that will ever will be, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. The Lord calls us his friends. We're his friends. The one that created all of mankind calls his children his friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, he goes on to say, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The Lord goes on to pray in John 17, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Someone that's famous, that, like I mentioned earlier about folks that I know that have gotten their picture taken with folks that became president and such as that, they're able to get up close to them and take that 3-second opportunity for the photo op, but then if they met them again at another place, they won't even know that they met him, the famous person. Oh, hi, how are you? Pleasure to meet you. Well, I met you last month or last year or so-and-so. They won't remember. The famous person won't remember it. But the Lord's not that way, is he? The Lord is not that way. I heard a voice in Revelation 21. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Number two, to know or be friends with someone famous. Number three, isn't it revealed in man's fantasy that mankind wants to have superhuman power? Superman, after all, right? Iron Man, Spider-Man, Batman. I call him Fat Man. Drives Nathan nuts. But those are the characters Armstrong. I'm trying to remember something there that I've heard from those older than me. But those superheroes that had great powers and had great superhuman strength, and Hercules in mythology and such as that. That's what we fantasize about, isn't it? In 1 John chapter 3, look over here. God has it, and he has it in a good way. These are not key elements of why we think about the blessing of the Lord, but they are really there. Consider what it is here. Man fantasizes and desires to have superhuman power and strength. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, who shall change our vile body? The Lord Jesus Christ indicated that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I'm going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have a body like his. And our frailty, our damage, all those things are going to be gone because we're going to have a body like his. And consider in John chapter 20, one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. I mean, this is just extra, okay? This is just kind of like candy in the scripture, if you will. It's not a thing that really rates high up there on importance, okay? I mean, everlasting life and forgiveness of sins and a relationship with God, those are the right things and those are the important things. But think about it. Having a body like the Lord Jesus Christ, and look what he did here in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors are shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. It doesn't mean he opened the door real quick and got it shut again. He appeared. And he wasn't, as you and I would say, was a ghost. He said, touch me. Give me something to eat. He appeared. We'll have a body like his. And at his bidding in the millennial reign and the world to come, we'll be able to do what he wants us to do. And we'll be able to go about and just appear. Having a body like his. And we're going to see some other references here. Stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. We go on to read in verse number 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. And see, the writer has put this here by the purpose of God so we can understand this thing. The doors being shut, right? Why add that if it wasn't important? The doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. The Lord just appeared. He didn't walk up the steps and down the hallway and come through the door. Boom, he was there. And the thing is, he was real. He was real. Not a ghost or a spirit. They were fearful when they saw him, but he said, fear not. Consider about the angels. We've seen this in times past. And in 2 Samuel chapter 24, it tells about David numbering the people and sinning against God, and then the Lord reveals to him about his sin in doing so, and the Lord gives him three options for him to be chastised with. And David tells the prophet there, he said, well, I'm going to fall in the hands of the Lord because he's merciful. And the Lord sends a pestilence amongst the people, and over the course of a couple days, the angel is there and has killed 70,000 people. 70,000 men. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even unto the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. Just in a very short time. Killing one man, one person every 4 seconds. in that time. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough." The Lord stops him. "Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. That angel, manifesting great power at the direction of God, slaying all those men for just a very short time, just a couple of days. Turn over to Luke chapter 20. We have a body like the Lord's, aren't we? Well, there's another indication here about our body that we're going to have. Luke chapter 20. Here the Lord dealing with some fellows, asking some questions to try to tangle the Lord up and to prove him wrong and to catch him in his words. And here giving answer to them in Luke chapter 20, verse number 36, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Neither they," those that are in the resurrection, those of his children. Let's back up to verse 34. "And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain the world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." We'll be able to move about, I believe, like the angels do. We'll be able to go about and do our Lord's bidding and his service and his worship in that day, in the millennial reign and in the new heaven and the new earth, like the angels do. Boom. Lord says go, we can go. Lord says come, we can come. And we can appear and be there, and it'll be physical. It'll be physical to have the strength of those beings that live in the other side. Number four, men desire to travel to other worlds, don't they? Star Trek to go. Space is the new frontier. To go and find other galaxies and other people and other creatures that live, right? Men desire to do that. In Revelation chapter 19, in verse number 1, "After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." In verse 14 of the same chapter, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." We're going to another place. We're going to be with the Lord. When the Lord comes and raptures us out of this earth, we are going there to be with him. We're going there to be with him in that other place, in heaven, as it were. And then in Revelation chapter 21, take a look over here. Revelation chapter 21. What God has, men want. They just don't want it the way the Lord has it. I find it interesting that the Lord answers all these great things and these many things that men want. God has them, but men just don't want them his way. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Sell your boat. Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Be there with the Lord in heaven. Where is heaven? Sides of the north is all I know. But it's a real place. It is a real, real place. And the Lord is going to take us there in the meantime while to hold us there till he comes back to this earth to rule and reign during the millennial reign. In Isaiah 57, we read this scripture last week. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." That's where the Lord lives. And that's where I'm going to live with him in eternity. Understand, eternity, isn't the word eternity a reference to time? But God refers to it as a place. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Dimensions that God lives in and that he only understands that he will take us to go to other worlds. Men want to be rich. Men want to be friends with someone famous. Men want to have superhuman power and strength. Men want to travel to other worlds. Men want to meet beings greater and more intelligent and more powerful than us. They've got antennas down in Puerto Rico and down in, I believe, even in South America and other islands near to the equator that are looking and listening, transmitting signals to the other beings that are out there, just in case they're there. I mean, millions of dollars wasted on such a thing by our government, by our nation, you know, listening. Wonder who it is. It's nobody. It's nobody. There's nobody out there. And then they're sending transmissions in Morse code and in all languages and all that. If you can hear us, don't beat us up. Don't hurt us. Don't laze us. Don't do something. We're doing all that kind of stuff because we want to get in contact with other creatures and other beings that are out there and some that believe that we were planted here by aliens, as we referred to them, and that we were just we were like a starter colony. You know, they planted us like kind of like you plant tomatoes here, because their intelligence is so greater and their ability and power is so great and beyond ours. No, God created us. Amen. And God created the universe and the galaxies and this earth and those things that he tells us in his word. I believe that's the extent of what the Lord has done. I believe that. But men want to meet these beings that are greater and more intelligent and powerful than us. The Lord says in Psalms 8, "Thou hast made him that is man a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." The Lord's made us in our place. And the angels, they have more power and they have greater ability than we do physically. But we are the ones that the Lord's created and has saved. There's no salvation for the angels. And they are ministering spirits to the lesser of the creation, if you will, ordained by God. Or the less powerful of the creation, I should say. You know the account about Lazarus, and it came to pass there in Luke 16 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What a blessing that the Lord has provided, that when we die, before his coming, the angels will come and carry us on to him. Brother George Goebel, when he died, and I don't want to make more out of it than there is, but his wife was there, and I arrived shortly after he had died, and friends of ours. And Joanne said that when he was there and in his bed, and he took his last breath or so, he reached his hands up. And that was it. I wonder if the Lord just didn't take his vision from being this side to the other side, and he saw those angels coming to get the brother. We will meet greater beings, and we will see the manifold creation of God even in heaven. And look in Revelation chapter 5. What God has, men want, but they don't want it God's way. Look here in Revelation chapter 5 in the throne room of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5, verse number 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." You know the description of the four beasts that are there before the throne of God, part of his throne room, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, always will be." Those creatures are there. They've been created by God. Those creatures that the Lord is going to create to torment the earth. We are told about them in the book of Revelation and otherwise. And I believe that we will be able to see them, or we'll be able to know the working of God. We're able to see them through faith in the scripture. Man wants to meet other creatures that are greater and more powerful than he. And you know what? The Lord's going to show them to us. And he's revealed them to us already in his word. I just find that very, very interesting. Job said in chapter 19 of the book of Job, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Who is there greater than God? In Matthew, in the Beatitudes, the Lord says in chapter 5, Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What God has, men wants. Next, a thing that man wants is this whole thing of tattoos, body marks, body piercings, things like that. We see that. We see that in the world, and it's very prevalent. It's becoming more prevalent, even among the people that claim the Lord. Folks want to do that. Look in Leviticus chapter 19. Look at what the Lord says about this. And of course, yes, he gave this to his people Israel, but I believe it's well that we should heed to it. Leviticus isn't wanting to cooperate this morning. Leviticus chapter 19. What God has, men want. Listen to what the Lord says here in Leviticus 19, verse number 28. In regards to tattoos, body piercings, cuttings, things like this. Leviticus 19, verse number 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Men want to mark up their bodies. I saw these guys recently. Man had tattoos. I mean, you couldn't see the skin for all the flames or the design that they had up and down their arms. I mean, they're just covered up with it. Big, stout, strong men having all that tattoo all over them. You've seen them all over their bodies and some of it coming up out of their neck. And I saw a young woman the other day, and she had something, had her name and date she was born and all that on the back of her neck. Marking up her body. What's the Lord says? The Lord says, don't do that. Don't do that on this earth. You know, the prevalence and popularity of tattoos and body piercings and such as that will make it very easy for folks to be of the mind to receive the mark of the beast. You know that? It's accepted. It's being accepted in our day. And so when they say, oh, you got to get this on the back of your hand, say, oh, okay, that looks kind of cool. I'll take that. You know, whether it be something you can see or not, or on your forehead. Yeah, I put mine up here on my forehead. What's the Lord say? What's the Lord say? Revelation chapter 13. What God has, men want. They just don't want it the Lord's way. If you can see a pattern here about the working of Satan and the depravity of men, Satan is always one that copies what God has. He tries to copy it, but it's always going to be against the Lord. It's always going to be against the Lord. In Revelation chapter 13, verse number 11, take a look here. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. See that other creature and that other creation, that other being that has greater power than men? They flock to it and desire it. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. All the tattooing and the body piercing and all that marking of the flesh in our day will just make it to where, yeah, sure, no sweat, I'll take it. After all, verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You got to have it to buy, sell, or trade. Sure, why wouldn't I? I've got a tattoo over here. Go ahead and put it in this hand. It'll just make it easy. It'll just make it easy because it is devilish, devilish indeed. Look over here in chapter 3. Look at what the Lord says he's going to do. You know, there is a mark that the Lord's going to put on his people, isn't there? Yeah, Revelation chapter 3. Take a look here. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 12. Here, writing to the church of Philadelphia, making a promise to the overcomers. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You know, I want that name written, don't you? Yeah. Wherever the Lord wants to put it. That's the one that I want. That's the writing that I want upon my body, is what the Lord puts on me. Revelation chapter 14. See, the Lord makes promises. The Lord has the things that are good and that are right. And Satan is a copier, and mankind and the depravity of man tries to copy it. And it is sinful indeed when men go after it. What God has, men want, but they don't want it God's way. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Right here. The 144,000 has the name of the Father written in their foreheads. You know, that's a mark that one would want. And the Lord knows these 144,000. And he's ordained who they will be. And he'll take care of that. But look in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. These are the marks that I want in my body. Here the Lord Jesus Christ has writing on himself in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 16. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that comes with his armies, he hath on his vesture, verse 16, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's on his clothing, and it's on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Written by God, purposed by God, marked by God, that is the mark that I want. Revelation chapter 22. Here in the new heaven and the new earth, and gives a promise to we, his people. And in verse number 1, he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Right here, the name of God, right here, that's the mark I want. That's the writing that I want in my flesh. I don't want it of this earth. You know, to the Jews that were subject to the atrocities of Hitler and the Germans in that day, they had a serial number put on them, didn't they? And it was a condemnation to have that, because if you had that mark, you were hated by that people and by that nation. But isn't it interesting how Satan and the depravity of man takes things and turns them around for the sake of art and such as that? I want the marking of the Lord. The next thing is that men want is for the good guy to win, for the truth to come out. Why is there the Lone Ranger and the guy wearing the white hat that never falls off? Right? Some of your older ones remember that. Lone Ranger would fight, and those other guys, those other cowboys would fight. And the thing about them, the bad guys, they'd always lose their hat. But the guy with the white hat, he never lost his hat, right? Because he was the good guy. That was against impossible odds. We desire and want the good guy to win. Isn't that what we want? Well, it's going to be that way. Brother Asaph in Psalm chapter 73 said, he had complained to the Lord about the prosperity of the wicked, but when he went into the sanctuary of God, Psalm 73, 17, then he understood their end. He saw that the end of the wicked was going to be a terrible, terrible end indeed, and the blessing was unto the people of God. I've read the back of the book, and the Lord's people do win. Amen? That's right. We do win. Good and truth will prevail. In John chapter 5, the Lord says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Things will be set right. Don't we have occasions in our life that we would just say, if the truth would just come out, it would settle this whole issue. It would settle this whole thing. But we have to wait. But one day, the Lord will bring the truth out. Look over here in Luke chapter 12. I tell you what, folks, this should be scary to us. It should cause us to fear. Because in that just judgment that God promises, in that context, this, what we read here in Luke chapter 12, is going to happen. Luke chapter 12, verse number 1. We'll read at the tail end of verse 1 there, the words of the Lord. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Verse 2, Luke 12, 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing. What's it going to say? Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That means everything you and I have said that we didn't want others to hear is going to be proclaimed out loud. I think myself, my personal opinion is that's going to happen at the judgments. As each individual person is judged, at whatever judgment it will be, God being the truth being so important to God, the truth is going to be established. Every single thing that has been said is going to be revealed. Because everything is going to be pulled out into the open. What's the Lord going to say? Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. We want the truth to come out. We want the good guy to win. And the Lord says it's going to be that way. In Jude, in verse number 15, the Lord says that he's coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them, Enoch speaking here, of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. It's going to be revealed. And the good guy, the Lord, is going to win. He's going to win. Next, people and mankind just want to be fulfilled and want to be at peace. But many seek their own way at finding peace. Many chase after drugs. Many chase after illicitness and other things to try to enjoy the pleasure of this world. But the only way that one can have peace is through the Lord. In John chapter 17, as the Lord prays there in Gethsemane, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." You know what peace is? What real, lasting peace and joy and contentment is? It's being enjoined to the Lord. See, in salvation and having the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and promises from God in that regard, we can rest, can't we? We don't have to be nervous about dying. Oh, yeah, we might fear the physical death. But having the salvation of the soul and having forgiveness of our sins through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace, isn't there? But men are trying to find peace any way that they can in this earth and cannot find it. The Lord goes on there in John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. See that unity in the Lord that Jesus is praying to the Father for? Oneness in the Lord. There's a oneness that Satan sells, being one with nature and the force of life and all that junk. But the Lord says being unified with him and that oneness in him is the place of peace, contentment, and blessing. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. The Lord has created his church, his body, and we are enjoined to that and married to him in that sense in the church. And there's a fullness that is there that filleth all in all, as it says in Ephesians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, verse number 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Real peace. The Lord is going to put down everything that raises its name and raises its head against God. He's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to marry his bride. He's going to get everything in its right place and its order, and then he's going to give it back to the Father that we all might be one together in him, his people, his children. God has a way of peace, doesn't he? But men don't want it that way. And then next, there's a thing that men want for things to be set right. And it's kind of like the truth being revealed. But there is in us and mankind a desire for vengeance, isn't there? For recompense. For wrong to be meted out and for condemnation to be brought down on those things that are terrible. I mentioned about the Jews and the killing of the Jews, or even coming down to our lives and folks doing us wrong. We want it set right. Want the truth to come out. And the Lord reminds us in Deuteronomy 32, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time," speaking of the wicked and the evil, "for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things shall come upon them, make haste." The Lord is going to set the line of truth, and he's going to establish the vengeance that he's going to mete out. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, the scripture says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves," speaking to us, "but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." The Lord's going to make everything square and straight and right and truthful. He's going to do it. And where I've done wrong, he's going to set that straight. And where others have done me wrong, he's going to set that straight. And where the others in the world has done you wrong, or different of his people, or those that have been martyred, or all those things that have been done all through the ages, God is going to set it straight, and he's going to mete out his vengeance upon every unlawful work, deed, and sin. He is going to do so. "Vengeance belongeth to me," it's rehearsed in Hebrews. "I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." That should make us fear. In Deuteronomy again, the Lord says, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, with the Lord's people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people." What God has, men want. They just don't want it his way. And lastly, what is it that men really want most? What mankind wants most and fantasizes about and tries to obtain. Liz Taylor died this past week, and she was one that did everything that with all the money that she had to try to look like she did when she was 20 and try to live forever, but can't. But couldn't do it, could she? No man ever has. No man or woman has ever lived forever. But that's what men want. Men want to live forever, don't they? They want to be young forever. Youth is great, and you really understand how great youth is when you ain't got it no more, huh? I know that's not good English, but isn't that the truth? 20 was really great now that I'm 40. I didn't know it when I was 20, but that we want to live forever, don't we? We want to be young forever. We give everything that we've got towards it, don't we? Yeah. Isn't that what men want? Isn't that what you want? Aren't you afraid of dying? When it gets down to it, in this flesh, aren't you afraid of dying? Especially, you should be afraid today if you're not saved. You should be afraid of dying. I'm not trying to scare you, but the truth is the truth. You should be afraid of dying, because if you die in your condition without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell and then be brought up out of hell for the judgment and then cast into the lake of fire. There should be fear about that. And the Lord tells us the truth about it. Men desire to live forever and to be young forever. And you know what? God has it. But men don't want it his way, do they? What God has, men want. But men don't want what God has his way. As I mentioned earlier, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him." Amen. Whatever age the Lord is, for we shall see him as he is. It's speculated that we'll all be 33 years old. I don't know. I don't know how it'll be, but I know it'll be good. Knees won't hurt anymore, will they? Neck won't hurt anymore. Back won't hurt anymore. Everything will work great, won't it? It'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing. And the Lord has it for those that have repented and believed that he has saved. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body. This body is vile. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. God has what men want. John chapter 10, verse number 28. John chapter 10, I thought it was 28. Here it is. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Live forever. Young. Or even if I am old in that day, it'll be without hindrance. Whatever age that we're set at, however the Lord does that. John chapter 6. What God has, men want. Verse number 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Eat of Christ. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Christ. Christ. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna. That was bread that came down from heaven also. But Jesus is different than that. And are dead. He that eateth of this bread, speaking of himself, shall live forever. What God has, men want. To be rich? Yep, God has that. To know someone famous? Yes, he does. You can know the creator of all the universe. To have superhuman power and strength? Yes. To travel to other worlds? Yes. To meet beings greater, more intelligent, more powerful than us? Yes. To have the true and right good marking of God in this body? Yes. For the good guy to win? Yes. To be fulfilled and at peace with God? Yes, the Lord has that. For things to be set right, for vengeance to be meted out correctly and righteously and in God's way? Yes, God has that. To live forever and to be young forever? God has what men want. How about you this morning? Or have you been seeking after some of these things your way? You want these things, but you don't want them God's way. Men do not want naturally what God has. God has what men want, but men naturally don't want what God has. You need to see that the way the Lord has it is the way that's eternal. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To repent that you are guilty before God. You've transgressed his law, his way, his word. You're a sinner. And in your condition, you are condemned. And if you die in that shape, you're heading to hell forever. To hell until the judgment, and then taken out for the judgment, and then cast into the lake of fire for eternity. You need to repent. And you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all the blessings that we've mentioned here this morning and more. But most of all, that you can be forgiven of your sin, your transgression against God, so forgiven and so your sins so atoned for that in his eyes, because of what Jesus Christ has done, it'll be as if you never have sinned.
Yeah.
Everlasting life. Eternal salvation. Forgiveness of sins and life from God. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, your sin, and your soul.